Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show. So is it possible that Abby's romantic destiny has landed right in front of Kristen?
Oh.
Abby, the future Mr. Murphy is in my inbox.
Really? Harry Styles?
I got this email. And you know how every now and then you'll get an email and you're like, something just strikes a chord with you. And you're like, there's something special about this email. And I feel like I would be standing, I would be preventing love from prevailing if I did not share this email with Abby.
Okay, so this is different than you trying to set somebody up in your own personal life, which has just failed miserably for 12 years on this show. It has never been successful. Never once. Zero times.
Yeah.
Zero. None.
Correct.
So this is not, you're not pulling from your life.
No.
This is somebody new.
This is somebody who emailed me that is pitching her son for Abby.
Oh. So if this works out, do you get matchmaker credit?
Partial.
Okay.
We'll take anything at this point.
A win is a win.
I don't even need half credit. I'll take a fourth credit, okay? So this is the email I got. Hi, Kristen. My name is blank. I live in Atlanta with my hubby/high school sweetheart. And I am a mom of 3 young adults. I love the Burt Show and I love the energy that Abby brings. I love listening to her dating stories and her honesty about navigating life in her 20s and today's world. It helps me see through my kids' eyes a little better. All right, I'm going to cut to the chase here. My son will be 25 in February. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Abby and he are both kind of the opposite of each other's type.
Oh, sounds perfect.
We're off to a great start.
Okay, can we pause there for just 1 second?
Yes.
All right? We can all get on this. Which cliche is more accurate in your eyes? Opposites attract, or is it healthier for a relationship when two people are similar?
I think opposites attract personally.
Like, is it healthier?
Is it healthier?
Yeah, they attract, but in the long run, is it healthier to be opposite from each other?
My entire life of dating has been opposites attract. That ain't the healthy one. Okay. I'm just telling you right now.
I think it's opposite personality, so it keeps things interesting. Like, you need an extrovert and an introvert, but you got to have the same values.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yet you have to be compatible more than anything else.
Yes. Opposite yet the same.
Same
but different.
Same difference.
Yes.
So that's 60 seconds of us not coming up with any answer. All right.
I have listened long enough to know Abby's preferences and guys, and his are a little off from hers too, but doesn't that make a great love story? Maybe not, but I just have this feeling. Abby and he have so much in common, and so much of what Abby says reminds me of him and his outlook on life. He's just looking for a hometown girl to share life's adventures with. He recently lost the love of his life suddenly, his dog Penny, and is trying to find his new way of life without her. They were connected at the hip, so it's been an adjustment. We're a pretty close family, so we spend a good bit of time together. So he listens to the Burt Show here and there, and I've told him about Abby.
So she wants to replace his
dog with me.
With dead dog with you. That's quite a compliment. This is definitely destiny taking over.
After telling me, she is definitely not his type. He might even be repulsed by her, but yeah, he's sad and lonely.
Compared to a dead dog, you are a great match. Okay.
I may have only read the first paragraph of this email, and I did not get to the dead dog part until just now. When I mentioned Abby, he immediately knew who I was talking about because he had heard a segment with me a few days before. Anyways, I know this is strange, but I just think that they should meet. Maybe a date, maybe just coffee, maybe just chat over Instagram. I sent you an Instagram message, but it was too long, and I'm now noticing half of it was misspelled, so it probably sounded like it was from a crazy person. I'm not crazy, I promise. And I'm not a meddling mother, usually. And before you ask, yes, I told him I was sending this, and yes, he is totally open to it. Like I said, I don't think the two of you are each other's typical type.
Just want to remind you of that.
Just reminding you, he thinks you're ugly.
He would normally not go for you.
But well, did he see you like with the new nose though?
Oh yeah, maybe the nose touching. He doesn't typically go for girls with big noses.
It's a game changer.
But I also believe that there is someone for everyone, and that person might not be what you had pictured or planned for. What is a type anyways? No one knows what their person is like until you met them, right? So, you're both just two young, single, working professionals, one with a dead dog, living in Atlanta, looking for a connection, and if nothing else, maybe just some good conversation. She then sent stats. We have his age. He's 24. He's going to be 25 next month. I have his height.
Uh-oh. This might be a problem for her. Uh-oh. Is this tall enough?
He's 5'9".
Okay.
He's on the cusp. I can see in your face you're not overly excited by 5'9".
Here's the thing. We haven't seen his bank account, and I haven't seen his face yet. Is he hot? Is he rich? I can make exceptions. She even threw his weight in there, Abby.
Kind of honesty is so freaking refreshing.
His occupation is marketing. She gave you his education. His lifestyle, single, never married, no children, currently living in blank with roommates, grew up here, has one brother, one sister. His interests, traveling, sports events, movies, entertainment, adventurous.
He likes alive dogs.
Same here.
Abby, you're great, and he's great. So she just thought it was worth a shot. She's a Burt Show P1, so whether I read the email or not, she's always going to be a true listener, but... if you want more information, I can reach out. Love you all. Not a crazy mom. Insert her name here. So my question is, will you go out with dead dog guy?
What has happened to
this? Do we need a different name for him?
I don't know. I like dead dog guy.
Let's call him Old Yeller.
Okay, would you... that is...
it got worse.
That reference...
I mean, don't you need to see a picture or something?
I mean, think a picture would be fair.
She did not attach a picture.
Here's my problem.
Oh. Yeah, see?
What are you hiding?
She thinks her kid is ugly.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, to be fair, he thinks I'm ugly too, so.
But again, hasn't seen your new nose.
Here's my thing. Yeah, he hasn't seen me with the new Whoville nose. So here's my thing. I look a little bit like a Whoville character right now. It's fine. Martha May was a stunner, okay? Here's my thing. My only hang up with setups like this is you just know so much more about me than I know about you. So there's already a power imbalance here.
Okay.
You know what I look like, what I sound like. You know my deepest, darkest secrets. You know what I talk about in therapy. And here I have is basically like an eHarmony profile of his age and vague interests that most people in their 20s like. So it's not that I'm not interested, but I'm not thrilled because I feel like I don't have enough info to make a decision.
Wouldn't that be any guy, though, that hits you up on Instagram that listens to the show? You could say the exact same thing about.
Which is why I typically don't go out with them.
Okay.
And also for safety reasons, too. You don't know who these people are. But you also get a little bit more. You can at least look at their profile, unless they're on private. Then when you're on private, you're like, what am I supposed to get from this? I just see your little tiny profile pic. But from an Instagram profile, you can get more of a sense of who they are.
So is that a hard no?
It's not a hard no. It's more of like a...
flaccid.
What kind of no is it? Because it's clearly a no.
It's an I'm not excited I just knocked over something. I'm not excited about it because I feel like I'm just looking at like a...
It's a blank canvas.
It's a blank canvas. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
but you could paint it. It could be, there could be anything. It could be a Monet.
But now she's in a very tight corner because if mom's here sends a picture and then Abby says no, then we know for sure it's because of the way he looks.
Well, to be fair, he wasn't thrilled about the way I looked either, so... But
no, I don't think that's really true.
Says that. Yeah.
So is it done?
Is it done?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm an a-hole if I say no.
You're not an a-hole
if you say no.
I'm gonna politely.
You are if you say no after the picture.
Yeah. I'm gonna say no now while this guy looks like Harry Styles in my head. Well, I'm saying no to Harry Styles from my neighborhood.
I have an idea because I like bonuses and I want people listening. Let the listeners decide.
You know they're just going to say yes.
Yeah,
you don't know that. No.
Why do we even need to? Right.
No, you don't know that.
You don't know that.
They have your best interest at heart.
No, have you seen the Facebook comments?
Not all of them. We have some very lovely listeners.
We do.
Now, this is a stretch. I'm wondering if mom and the guy would be willing to put his picture up online to let
listeners
see it.
No, look, we're not doing that.
She clearly doesn't want to do this. I don't want to force her into doing something that she doesn't want to do. She doesn't really feel connected or sympathetic for the guy that just lost his daughter.
I hope he looks like Brad Pitt.
You're not forcing her, but I mean, I can put a poll up at thebertshow.com and let listeners vote. Because this could be destiny.
It could be.
But they've heard your case and they've heard the mom's case, so let an impartial third party decide.
Abby, don't kick a dead dog while he's down. This is a lot.
Don't you have a heart?
Listen, I am open to letting the listeners obviously vote yes and then me be forced to go on this date.
You don't know if that's going to happen.
That's 100% what's going
to
happen.
Everybody heard what I said, and so... You're going to, I mean, you don't have to do it if you don't want to, any of it.
Yeah, whatever. Put up the poll. Okay. I hope you're, if you're listening, I hope you're okay.
It's the most unenthusiastic.
With your,
put up the poll.
His dog did die. Yeah. I feel bad.
Penny. He's a animal lover.
Penny. I'll do it for Penny.
Yay! Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Penny!
The Burt Show.
You guys ever do this with somebody? I've seen this in movies before, but where you're like in your 20s or your early 30s, probably 20s, and you're like, okay, when we're both old, like when you're 40 and I'm 40 and we don't have a significant other because we're such good friends, why don't we just start dating at 40 or we'll just get married because we're just such great friends. Do you have somebody like that?
Yeah, when we're on our deathbed, let's just go ahead and just cuddle each other
as we
go to sleep. No, I did not have a person like that.
You guys have that?
I did. Yep. One of my best friends in college
did
told
or still
me.
Do?
No, did. She, it was 30 was the age if we both were single at 30. So which I didn't think was a compliment at all. Like, if you go out and just can't find your person, you're just going to settle on me at 30. But whatever. But she ended up getting married at 29.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't even get excited for a second date. So the thought of marriage would make me break out in hives. So no pact for me.
I did. I made this pact with Jay way back in the day, Jay Marciano. And she switched teams on me.
Really?
About 2 decades ago.
Oh, no.
So that's not on the table anymore.
Oh. Nope, it's not.
Nope. Yeah. But Gabrielle here has a friend that she made this pact with. Actually, it's a coworker. Hey, Gabrielle.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, all right. So tell us about this person that you made this pact with. Like, in the future, if I'm alone, you're alone, let's just try this thing out.
Okay, so we were like good friends at work. His name is Andrew. But it was at my old job, and we haven't really spoken much, like, since I left that job. It was, like, last February. But last New Year's Eve, not this one, like, the one going into 2023, we were both at, like, a co-worker's New Year's party. And at the party, we were just, like, talking a lot, and I had said that I was, like, determined to find the one in 2023. And he turned to me, and I was just, like, so taken aback and surprised because he said, well, if you're still single at the end of the year, you have to agree to give me a shot. And, I mean, I just thought he was kind of, like, joking at the time because we're just, like, friends and coworkers. And I didn't really think I was attracted to him at that time. So I kind of just, like, ignored it and laughed it off.
So this isn't a marriage pact. It's just a dating pact.
Yeah, but I am looking for, like, the one.
Of course.
Like, I definitely get married, and I'm looking, you know. So it's, like, a dating pact slash, he didn't say marriage, but, like, that's what I'm looking for. And I don't know. So, but, like, I wasn't attracted to him at that time. I'll just be honest. But I just, like...
Why?
I don't know. he wasn't my type, but, like, now,
why?
2023, it's, like...
He ugly?
I don't know. I've just been thinking a lot about the guys that I've dated in the past, and I'm just sort of, like...
Does he have lots of skin tags?
Reevaluating. Yeah, I'm, like, reevaluating my type.
Yeah, so...
And, like, the more I thought about it, I just realized that, like, I should be dating guys that are... more like him, and 2023's come and gone, and I am still single. And I just am realizing that maybe I was just being superficial before, and that, like, I really I don't know. Now I'm feeling like I am more attracted to him. Because I might have been into bad guys before, and he's like a nice guy, so...
Okay, so initially, physically, you weren't attracted to him. But now a year's gone by, and you're a little more desperate now than you were last
time. Decided not to be superficial anymore. Take the ugly guy.
I'll take anybody.
No, we're not gonna do it like that. Give us three redeeming qualities about Andrew that make him, like, three redeeming qualities that you find attractive.
Like, he walks upright.
No, stop. And it doesn't have to be physical, obviously, because lots of different things can be attractive on a person besides something physical.
Okay. First, we have really great conversation. Like, I just found him really easy to talk to, which is how we became, like, such good work friends.
Perfect. What's next?
He's, like, very responsible kind of person. He's the opposite of like a bad guy. He's like very responsible and considerate kind of guy.
So he brings safety and security into the relationship.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so we have great conversation. He seems like responsible and stable, like emotionally and just about life. And
he makes a lot of money.
He makes a fair amount of money. It's not like, he's not like broke, but he's not like super rich either. I'm okay with that.
Hey, look, two things are plenty. I know a lot of relationships that are based on less than two.
I did not know that third one was going to elude us.
Three was a lot.
Yeah. Three was too much.
She was asking for a lot. Okay, three?
Two of three is just fine. That's just fine.
All right.
So, Gabrielle, when you emailed us, you wanted us to reach out to him to see if he was serious about dating, right?
Yeah, because I'm just like really too nervous to ask myself, and we haven't even spoken really since I left that job. And I don't even know if he would remember saying that to me if it wasn't just like a flippant comment and he wasn't serious. And I just like don't really want to be rejected, so okay. I just thought it'd be easier if maybe.
Well, we've already done the heavy lifting for you. Mm-hmm. Our studio director, Tommy, reached out to this dude to see, A, if he remembered you, B, if he was really serious about this, and if so, would he go out and, hey, let's go have a date, okay? So hang with us for a couple of minutes, and Tommy, our studio director, will tell you exactly what we found out about this guy, because he did reach out to him, and he got an answer back.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Okay, so hang with us, and we'll give you the results next.
The Burt Show.
So about a year ago, our listener, Gabrielle, who we'll get back on here in just one second, had a coworker. They got along just fine, right? She wasn't really interested in him back then, though. And he said, I'll tell you what, in a year, if you're single and I'm single, you got to give me a shot. Let's go out. Let's go have drinks. And she said, in the back of her head, she's like, that is never going to happen. But a year later now, she's like, okay, all right. Let's give this guy a shot. So she wanted us to reach out to him to see if he was serious and still interested. I think a year ago, if he made that proposal, he's still going to be interested if he's single, right?
I think so, 100%. And she's more desperate than ever, so I think it's a match made in heaven.
Timing's everything, right? Timing's everything.
This show is really on a very dark roll today. It started with the dead dog. And we just haven't stopped.
It hasn't stopped.
All right, Gabrielle, are you ready for some results here?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, you wanted us to reach out to this dude. By the way, when is the last time you saw this guy?
February of last year when I left the job.
Okay.
So we're closing in on a year.
A year. So yeah, you asked us to reach out to him and see if he was serious. You were too nervous to do it yourself. So we turned this over to our studio director, Tommy. He's got some results for you.
Because
he's
the darkest of all of us.
Yep. I reached out and contacted Andrew via text. I said, hey, Andrew, my name's Tommy Owen. I work for The Burt Show. I've heard you may be a listener of our show. And he immediately texted me back. He said, hey, man, yes, I do listen to your show. Let me guess why you are contacting me. And I said, ha, give it a try. He said, you want to set Abby up with one of your most loyal male listeners.
Man, you're on a roll. Wow. This new nose has changed everything.
I knew it. That's why I got it. All the men want me now. It was my nose. I knew it the whole time.
I said, close, but not exactly. And he said, wait. Close. I was kidding, but if she wants to go out, I'm your guy.
Not that desperate.
Hey, yikes. He's a good conversationalist, and he is responsible.
Uh-huh. What else?
We're still waiting on the third.
Yeah, he's got a great personality.
Has a dog that's alive.
And I said,
reference earlier.
He said, wait, close. I was kidding, but if she wants to go out, I'm your guy. I said, ha, well, I'm hoping to set you up with someone, but it's not with Abby. And he said, well, are you sure Kristen's husband will be okay with that?
I like this guy.
So, yeah, he's got a sense of humor.
He's got jokes. Yeah, Andrew, we're thinking about doing an open marriage now. So what do you think?
So I sent him a laughing emoji. I said, no, I don't think Bart would be. So maybe you'd let me set you up with someone who's not on our show. And he said, he's still on a roll. He goes, are they anything like Abby or Kristen? And I said, to be honest, I have no idea. And then he said, well, what kind of matchmaker are you?
I like this dude.
I like Andrew, too.
And I said, not a very good one, I guess. Anyway, there is a friend of ours, or yours, that thinks you may be open to a date based on something you had once said. And he goes, what did I once say, and who did I say it to? I said, your friend and former coworker, Gabrielle. She's been thinking about you and remembers that you made a joke last New Year's about her giving you a shot. And he said, Gabrielle, ? Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Are you serious?
Okay.
When are we going out? Okay.
The way it sounds, he's willing to take anything with a pulse right now.
This is beautiful. He's as desperate as she is.
Yes.
It's perfect.
So I said the most obvious thing possible. I said, so you'd be open to a date? And he said, was it the hell or the yeah? That sounded ambivalent. And I said, well, great. I'll let her know, and then we'll get it set up. And he said, fantastic. I said, if you still have her number, don't contact her until I give you the green light. We want to let her know what your response was on the air. And then he said, okay, but maybe leave out the part about Abby and Chris. And that was it.
All right, Gabrielle, this is great news.
Yes, I heard the part, about Abby and Kristen, but he seems, really enthusiastic about me, too. So, should I, text him now?
Sure.
Or?
Why not?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if he's a listener and he's obviously familiar with the show, I'm sure he's been listening to all of this. Sorry, we've been a little harsh on you, Andrew, but after reading your text exchange, you seem like a very funny, lovely guy.
And who cares if you're his third choice? I'm sure I have been the seventh or eighth choice for women before, and I don't care. So what if you're third? Who cares?
It wasn't exactly her first choice. So it kind of works.
Oh, no. No, do you see? He's got, a great personality.
He does.
In the text. He's, a great conversationalist. I don't know. Should I just, text him right now? Or should I wait? I don't want to seem, too...
You want to be an eager beaver?
No, I mean...
But I guess he heard all of this now anyway. So.
Yeah, we're past the part of eager beaver at this point. I think, he knows that you went and set this whole thing up. So there's absolutely no reason at all not to text him. So, hey... I just talked to Tommy. He said you're down, so let's go have a drink.
Okay. I'm going to text him right now. Should I start with hey, or should I, go into the whole thing, let's have a drink? Or should I just, start hey?
I don't know, sister. You're on your own now.
I really don't think he cares.
We've done everything we can, all right?
No, Gabrielle, just hit him up and be like, hit him up and say, so just got your response. When would you like to go grab that drink?
Yeah, this is a different segment. Okay. This is called Texting Tutor. We can do that on Friday for you if you want. Okay. But at this point, the training wheels are off. You're on your own.
Thank you. I'm just excited and nervous. Okay.
No, I got you. Gabrielle, we've pushed you out the nest. It's time to fly, girlfriend. Yep. Time to fly.
There's nothing to be nervous about.
Right into the arms of Andrew.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let us know how it goes, okay?
Hope he catches you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You know what's going to happen? So she's going to show up on this date and go, oh, man, look at him and go, now I realize why I didn't give him that shot.
You think he shifted that much in her mind in a year?
I don't know. Maybe he got a nose job.
I don't know. She needs to find a third thing that she likes about his personality before this date, though.
Get it. The Bert Show.
This is really, really interesting. We want to get Bert Show listener Dion, whose daughter wants to be a professional wrestler.
Oh, wow. What an ambitious goal.
I love this, right? Hey, D.
Hey.
Good morning. Okay, so you got concerns about her pursuing this, but it has not a lot to do with, the physical part of getting hurt in the ring. It has everything to do with diet.
Yeah, exactly. So she's 9, so keep that in mind. I mean, kids have fantastical ideas all the time, you know, whatever. But we've recently started watching, and it's been, like, this really fun thing for everybody. But she's got, like, extremely into it. Like, she is over the top. This is, like, her life's mission now. She's going to be, like, a superstar, which I'm like, you go, girl. Like, do it. Yeah. And she's super driven. She's amazing. She sets her mind to something. She's going to do it. That part is cool. But the problem is she has, like, access at the library and stuff to a computer, and because we don't, like, let her have, you know, her own computer or tablet, stuff like that. But she went and started researching, like, how to do this, what do I do? And she came to me with this whole list of foods, and she was like, this is what wrestlers eat, and this is what wrestlers cannot eat. Hmm. But she has this whole list of, like, things that she wants to eat, and this whole list of things that she is not allowing herself to eat, which surface level is like, okay, you know, it's healthy stuff. It's not like crazy weird, like crash diet or something. You know, it's like very healthy, protein rich, like stuff you would eat if you were going to train, you know. And I told her, you know, that's great. You can't eat like, you know, a 200-pound man. So you're going to have to like dial it back a little bit. But you also, you know, I'm just concerned that what starts on like a healthy like goal is going to maybe go somewhere else. I don't want it to become a, like an obsession. You know, I've struggled with eating disorders in the past, and I know how slippery the slope is.
You are a fantastic mom.
You are.
Let me say that. That your daughter wants to do something a little bit out of the ordinary, and you're totally open to it, and your concerns, I think, are totally and completely valid for the right reasons.
Because if your child comes to you, and I love this for her, I do, and that the fact that she's already doing all this research to, she's, not only has she proclaimed a goal, but she's actively working towards it. But when your 9-year-old, almost 10-year-old daughter comes to you with a list of foods that she's restricting, I can see how, as a mom, you're like, this is definitely a slippery slope. How do we make sure this doesn't, we don't end on the wrong side of this?
You want to get her on the proper steroids now, like most wrestlers, not something off the street.
They don't do that. What are you talking about?
All right. So when we read your email, we realized like this is way above our pay grade. So we reached out to Margaret Schwanke, who is a certified eating psychology counselor and certified holistic health coach and the founder of Authentic Nourishment, to kind of help you out and guide you through this. Good morning, Margaret.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, so you heard Dee and you heard her concern. She's really trying to be open-minded about her 9-year-old being a professional wrestler, which I think is fantastic. But the eating part of it really concerns her. So as a holistic health coach, how should she attack this with her daughter?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to jump into it. I have a couple questions for you, Dee. So first I want to say, I think there is so much positivity in this situation. You are such a great mom. I just want to, you know, just affirm for you that, you know, your concerns are valid. And I understand you have a history here. And so that makes it even more concerning. But there is so much, you know, the fun that you guys are having from watching the WWE, and then the fact that she's 9 and she's taking a genuine interest in this, and that you are supporting her, but also concerned. So I think the first thing for us to consider is that this, like, 100% overwhelming, all-encompassing interest, it might pass, right? She's 9. It might pass. So, but the best thing we can do is take it seriously and treat her interest, you know, as legitimate, and offer the support and investment in her that you are inclined to do. So, Do you mind sharing a little bit about your eating disorder past, what that was like?
Yeah, so mine was a lot different than her. Like, this all is because of a goal, right? So mine was all aesthetic. Hers is not aesthetic at all. She doesn't care. She has shown no, like, thoughts about, like, oh, I need to look like this or whatever. But when I was younger, I was like, I always felt like I was a little bit bigger than all the girls in my my grade when I was like in middle school and stuff like that. And then in high school, like, I just always felt bigger. And so once I started figuring out how to lose weight, it became like an obsession. So like right before college, I just went off the deep end, like completely working out all the time, like barely eating anything. I lost like 50 pounds or something. Like it was not good, but mine was all like the aesthetic thing. Like, once I started getting smaller, I couldn't stop getting smaller. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely does, and I understand, and I think so many people have struggled with that, myself included, in my past, so I really understand how challenging that is. So has she exhibited any signs of being restrictive or thinking about this in that way?
Not at all. That is the one positive thing. Like, this is nothing like that. She doesn't even, to me, that doesn't even seem like it's on her radar at all. All she talks about is, like, to get strong and to do this for, you know. So that part, I guess, doesn't concern me as much.
Yeah, and what else is she looking up? You mentioned she's Googling all kinds of things. What else is she searching?
So she wants to know, like, how they train, like, what kind of workouts to do and stuff like that. And so she started doing, like, martial arts because I figure that's really kind of the sort of stepping stone. She can start learning, like, technical things. You know, and how serious, you know, some of this is really is. It's not all, you know, fun and not TV, you know. So, but she is starting to, like, take the training part seriously, you know, and just trying to figure out how to, you know, train to get where she wants to be.
Yeah. Okay. Well, from my perspective, it sounds like she is approaching this in a very straightforward manner. You know, she's not only targeting the food piece of this. She's not obsessing about the diet or being restrictive. She's taking a genuine interest in all aspects of this topic, right? How do they, you know, how do they eat? How do they train? How do I get strong? How do I do this? How do I become really good at this? And that's a really positive approach. And so my perspective would be, you know, can you use this as an opportunity to teach her how to do this in a healthy way? And that might be healing for you both. You know, I know that you have some concerns that she's going to follow in your footsteps and have disordered eating, but I think that this is an opportunity for you to really approach this and say, you know, like, depending upon how honest you feel like you can be with her, I would lean in and trust in the efforts that you've made to model a healthy relationship with food for her.
Hey, Margaret, would you mind? I mean, we're just so restricted by time on this show sometimes, and we could go on for another 15 minutes. Would you mind if we gave Dee your phone number just so she could do a little counseling with you just for a couple of minutes off the air and get a little bit more in depth?
Yeah. And what it sounds like, Margaret, you're telling Dee, like, all, you know, obviously your concerns are valid, but it seems right now your daughter is on the right track. And Margaret's like, while you have these concerns, there doesn't seem to be like anything you really honestly need to do at this moment, except for just continue to be a supportive mom.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, let me link you guys up off the air. And if you have any additional questions for her, I'm sure she can help you out.
Thank you so much.
Margaret, you've been great. Thank you. If you want to check out Margaret, check out Margaret Schwenke. You better spell that.
S-C-H-W-E-N-K-E.
Let's get people your website. We'll connect over. We'll link over to it from our website also, which is thebirdshow.com.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Kristen is a little obsessed with this convict in Nevada that jumped at the judge and got sentenced the other day.
I am chomping at the bit to give you guys the latest update.
Get it?
I know. You're looking at me judgingly.
No, I'm just ready to talk about sluts.
Okay. All right.
which we're going to talk about right after this. To me, it's much more intriguing segment.
And he says that lovingly. Hashtag yes, all sluts. All right. So the update on the guy who attacked the judge. So Diober Redden was in a courtroom in Las Vegas. A judge was giving him a sentence for this battery charge, and she was going to sentence him. She wasn't going to do probation. She was sentencing him to prison, and he snapped. He jumped over two desks because he jumped over the defense desk and then jumped over the judge's bench.
And did it with such grace also. No, honestly.
He did. Like, it was impressive.
Yeah.
And so, and he jumped on her and knocked her to the ground and slammed her head and pulled her hair. And apparently one of the marshals or bailiffs, he slammed him and he had to get 25 stitches.
Whoa.
Another person he attacked, yes. So he ended up going back to that same courtroom the next day to face that judge to finish getting his sentence from his original battery charge. Well, he was also back in court yesterday in front of a different judge for a new slew of charges for attacking. They're charging him with attempted murder.
What?
What?
On the judge?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Really?
Oh, damn. Okay, well, this is a pretty good story.
This is why I've been wanting to get... Now, and there's a sad twist to it as well, because his family obviously coming to his support, and you know, they're saying that he is, you know, highly struggling with mental illness. And as somebody who has similar of the illnesses he has, you know, bipolar, et cetera, in my life and in my family... Yes, the mental illness can explain the behavior, but it doesn't, it can explain the behavior, but it doesn't.
Doesn't mean you have to accept it.
Yes. Right. Oh, man. No, there's a phrase there.
It doesn't excuse the behavior?
Thank you. Explains the behavior, but it doesn't excuse the behavior. So, but now he's got like, battery by, there's a slew of charges, battery on a protected person, battery of an officer, battery by a prisoner, extortion, and then other charges, and... attempted murder.
Damn.
Wow.
Well, the good news is he'll be very good on that prison football team. He's an athlete.
No, he's going to have a season.
Yeah,
he'll be a prison MVP.
For sure.
Yeah.
But he'll never see the light of day again, I don't think. Right?
I'll keep you updated on what's going to happen.
I'm sure you will.
Thank you.
I don't doubt. All right, now let's talk about salutes.
Okay, let's talk about salutes.
All right, so how did we even get into this? We were talking about Abby's new, she's got new nose energy.
Okay. All right, small nose energy.
Yeah.
All right, so let's follow the slut train here, all right? So I told Abby because not once but twice on the show, dudes have thrown themselves at her, right?
Recently.
It's because of the nose.
Post nose.
And I do. I say this lovingly because this is not a conversation to slut shame, okay? But I jokingly said to Abby, I'm like, girl, Abby, if you were more of a slut, you'd be getting all kinds of, you know, action, right?
First of all, there will be no slut shaming on this show at all. I endorse it.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah. No, women get yours for sure. Yes.
For my dudes, I endorse it 100%. No shaming. Yeah. Keep doing your thing.
And so we were talking about this, and then I, off air, which was supposed to stay off air, but I should have known better than to have this conversation in front of Herbert Weiss.
Mm-hmm.
I said a friend and I were getting pedicures, and we were talking about how we wish we would have had more of a slut phase, right?
Seems like the perfect atmosphere to start talking about your missed opportunity to be a slut is when you guys are getting manicures and pedicures together.
We were just sitting in the pedicure chair, you know, and she's just, this woman is slothing off all the dead skin off the bottom of my feet, and I'm like, man, I really wish I had a slut phase. And
how does a conversation like that start?
I'm not going into that. That's an off-air conversation, okay? So
I'm really interested.
So, but that's we got onto that topic and how we just would have experienced, you know, explored more and you know, been more exploratory and experienced more with more people. And so we're having this conversation, and of course the number's going to come up. Like we like, when do you wish you would have had this phase, and how many people? Blah blah blah. And let's just say she told me her number, and as soon as she told me her number, I looked at her and I'm like, I'm already a slut.
I guess I'm at
it. I mean,
I guess you should have gone first, huh?
We have to multiply your number by a significant number.
Oh my God.
It wasn't just a phase, Mom.
So I was like, you know what? I guess I'm good. So
your question off the air to Kristen is the one that made me like, wait a second, this has got to be on there. What was your question?
It was interesting to me because just the other day I was talking to my lady and she said that she was at a dinner with some women, some of her friends, and I guess the same type of conversation came up, and all of the women at the table are either married or with the person that they believe is their person today. So someone asked, in this position of being married or have founding your person, are you satisfied with your past? Like, do you wish you had slept with less men, or are you okay with the fact that you had a phase? And she said it shocked her that only two of the women said, I regret it. Like, I wish I hadn't had those experiences with the men. Whereas there was like eight women who were all like, nah, I kind of wish I went harder.
So
I was like, well, what makes a woman wish she had more of a slut face?
So, because you either want to, you wish you would have hoed it up,
or right. hoed it down, right?
Right.
And I wish I would have hoed it up a little bit more. And I think it's because, at least for my age and where I am now, and the acceptance of, you know, I feel like women's sexuality has progressed over the years, and women have more freedom in that area and are less judged. Whereas I felt like when I was in my 20s, it was more harsh, mm-hmm. and you were more harshly judged. Don't get me wrong; those judgments still exist, but I don't think they are as harsh as they were when I was in my 20s. And I just think I held myself back because I looked at it like it was a bad thing to have sex. It's not a bad thing to have sex. It's not a bad thing to be intimate with another person, and it doesn't make you less of a person because you do have that. Those and I kind of treated it like a bad thing, and I wish I wouldn't have.
Just so you had more experiences?
Yeah, just more, yeah, different mm-hmm. experiences, more experiences, because we were talking about different, you know, we were just, yeah, there's what? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. There's varieties of things out there.
Yes, there are.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, so, okay. I think I got what you're saying.
Some wear hats and some don't.
Gotcha.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So now, so it's just kind of like.
If you lined up 100 women.
We ended up with lovely pedicures.
If you lined up 100 women. All right. So take yeah. Mo's sample out of it. If you lined up 100 women, how many of the 100 women would say that they wish that they slept with more people when they were younger?
I'd say like 75, 80%.
Really? Cass?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, too.
Really?
Especially if you meet your partner while you're younger.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Mm. Abby, you say the same thing?
All my friends are hoeing it up right now, so I'm not wow. a reliable narrator.
Are you just living and you're being a hoe vicariously through them?
Yeah, I love their stories. I got too many standards. I'm hanging on to my heterosexuality as a thread. I'm not here by choice.
Listen. It's the Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
While we're on the topic of Saltburn and some of those more intimate scenes that we talked about in our bonus BS this week, Barry Keoghan, who is the actor who is in some of these outlandish, shocking, intimate scenes, he is coming out and talking about the inspiration behind the one that I think is the most grotesque, which if you haven't seen the film and you want to hear us talk about it in detail, again, you can subscribe to our bonus BS content.
Is this the third one this you told
is,
us about?
This is the graveyard scene where he... Anyway. Go listen to it on bonus
he
BS.
He went off script and all I can see is like everybody on set going... What is he doing, and do we stop him?
Well, from Barry's own mouth, this is what happened when he filmed that scene.
Grave scene, same thing. I just wanted to explore and grow with the character and figure him out and see when, you know, I asked for a close set. I said, I want to try something. And I just wanted to see what I'd do as Oliver when action happened and where I went. And to me, he just went to a place of... You know, being totally heartbroken and lost and confused. That's where the books helped me out, because it reminded me of where I'm at and how to feel, basically, what mood to be in.
By the way, that was with an interview with GQ.
Okay, so he asked for a close set. So we're sitting there thinking everybody's watching yeah. this. So
it's got to be a cameraman.
Yes, obviously. But I mean, by close set, you probably have like, you know.
Director.
A director and your camera person. And maybe somebody, I mean, we have plenty of people who work in the entertainment industry and the movie industry in our backyard. So if you know how this, I'm interested to know like the inner workings of requesting a closed set and like exactly how many people are in, you know, on the set. That makes so much more sense as to why he chose to do that.
So this is, I don't know the ins and outs of this industry either, but from what I understand, what you told us a few weeks ago, Abby, was that this was improvised. Mm-hmm. So if he knew he was going to do this, then he would ask for a closed set.
You could be in the moment. Like, you could be doing it.
But then it wouldn't be a closed set.
Oh, that's so true.
You can ask people to leave. Like, everybody can be there, and you can request a closed set, and everybody has to leave.
Well, then it's not really very spontaneous, right? I have this idea. Everybody get out of here.
It kind of sounds...
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like he wanted to explore the character, but didn't know what he was going to do as the character. Mm-hmm. And so he asked for a closed set so he could get... He knew it was going to be weird and freaky what he did. But I don't know. Like, I think probably in the moment he did the graveyard scene, but he didn't know in advance. You know what I mean?
He knew he was going to get freaky.
And, yeah, yeah. When you're watching, they film a scene over and over and over and over again sometimes. So maybe he was filming the scene over and over and over again. And then he's like... this is what I think this character should do. And he's like, I need a close set. Everybody leaves. And then he does what he did.
Do you think he's like, but this is going to be one take?
Yeah.
You
know?
That would have been a one take scene for me, man.
I'm going to get awfully chafed. All right, this is one time.
Well, you get what you get. We ain't doing this again.
You're only getting one out of me. Okay, so as somebody with a breakup podcast, I talk a lot about like the most outrageous ones that I've ever, or I talk a lot about some really outrageous things. And I always know I'm going to get a good story when a throuple is involved. And now Peacock is introducing a new reality show that I think is going to give me a lot of content to talk about. Because a trailer dropped yesterday for a new dating show called Couple the Thruple. This is going to be so good.
So we really have
to. Is that a California king, by the way?
We have to take a look at ourselves as a society because they are giving us what we want. And TV and movies now have never been more into shock value than they are right now. You got this one, Saltburn, we were just talking about, which is three of the most shocking things I've ever seen in my life.
That naked show.
Yeah, the naked one, yeah. Dating show also. We are just going to different levels of shock value now.
Well, at this point, like, how do we top all of this? We're going to see three people dating each other. Then do we have like a show about four people dating? And then at what point do we just put on full intimacy scenes on the television and call it entertainment?
I don't think we're far from that at all.
I mean, I think if you go to other countries, that's happening already.
Really?
Uh-huh. There's way more nudity and way more liberal when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that naked show is based in the UK.
From England, yeah.
Spicy. Well, that drops on February 8th, and if we're going to call TV a hobby, I think we should all pick it up as a hobby so we can all discuss it together. It's for research. For more stories, head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
They saw it happen in real time, and I know I don't get a lot of sympathy from women in a case like this, but showed up on my Google Calendar, this notification comes up. Physical today, 11 a.m. Which means for a guy my age, somebody's finger's going up my butt.
Ooh.
Oh, damn it.
Yikes.
Some people like that. First, not one. Some people would get excited.
No. And,
but this only happens once a year, correct?
Yeah.
Is it that often?
Yeah, when you get to a certain age, dude, it's gotta be once a year.
Oh, man.
But I'm glad you're talking about this because men need to take control of their health, and this is a very important thing that you need to do.
Yes, it is.
I told you, I used to work with a guy, and we went to the same doctor, and we both had to do that, and I asked the doctor to please use a different finger.
And my doctor's kind of a lengthy guy. He's got long fingers. It's not long.
Yo.
It's really not. He gets way up there.
Is that something maybe you should have done when you were like, you know, trying to find a doctor? Be like, put your hand up. Yeah. Be like, before I choose you as my primary physician, give me a high five.
Show me yours before I show you mine.
That is a great test.
I think so.
The next time I'm looking for a doctor, I will definitely find one with small hands.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a website, smallhandsdoctors.com.
It probably is, but not the kind you want to visit.
All right, our intern Courtney gets herself a tattoo and had no idea who she was sort of waving at, what community she was waving at.
I just want to apologize about this internship because here you are in studio for the first time to talk on the air, and your boss is talking about a finger going up his butt. I am so welcome.
Yes. Well, might as well break in with the real stuff.
I know what I signed up for. I'm here for a reason.
All right. So tell us about this tattoo and then when you realize like you are flagging down a certain community.
Yep. So I have a small tattoo behind my ear. It is one sun, one star, one moon. I got it with my two sisters. Didn't really think much of it. And I work at a popular retail store. And one day I'm at work, I'm on an aisle, and right behind me, like right on my ear where my tattoo is, there's an older man, mid 50s, early 60s, and very low, in a low, like gruntled voice, he goes, "How long have you been in the lifestyle?" And I turn around like pale, ghost face, right? And then as if he knows me and I trust him, he's like, "Oh, it's fine. You can tell me. Like, I'm a part of it. Like, we're the same. We're on the same team right now."
Were you like, "What lifestyle?"
Yeah, I turned around and I was like, excuse me? Like, I have no idea what to say to this. And he promptly is like, "Oh, it's fine. You know, like, swingers are swingers. Like, we're all friends."
You're like, "What?"
Of all ages. Huh? And
you're like on swing sets?
Yeah, like vines, like what are we doing right now? And he proceeds to like not necessarily invite me, but he's like, "Yeah, like if you want to be friends, you know, I'm a part of the community." And I very promptly explained to him that it was for my sisters. And then of course he's embarrassed and he's turning away like a dog who's in trouble. And I'm like, "Good, you should like, that's, you should be."
And yeah, it was an extremely awkward encounter.
So explain for those that, yeah. Did you Google it? Did you afterwards? And what'd you find out?
I did. I Googled. So apparently if you have a 5-pointed star on the front of your house, like as like decor, I guess, it means that you're a swinger. I've never heard of that. I don't know if I'm too young. I don't know.
I thought it was a pineapple.
I thought it was a pineapple too. That's all I ever heard of.
That's what I guess we're evolving. Yeah, I didn't get a pineapple. I mean, I wasn't doing that on purpose. But yeah, I looked it up. And apparently if it's on the front of your house, that's what it means. And he saw it. And it's not even a single star. It's a whole tattoo with other things. So I guess he decided to grow a pair that day and see if he could swing it.
So here's the irony. Our intern, Caroline, who was on earlier this morning on The Bert Show, she has a pineapple tattoo behind her ear.
No.
Wait, what?
No,
a bunch of freaky interns we have, huh?
But it's the thing with your best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's where they're best friends.
They're swingers together.
They're not swingers.
Caroline and I knew each other before this.
So from Snopes, do stars on the sides of homes indicate the residents are swingers? Snopes says 5-pointed stars decorating the exteriors of homes mean the inhabitants are swingers. True or false? Big time. False!
Yeah.
In late December 2020, social media posts went viral that stated houses with blah, 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 blah.
Because they're like the people who post sometimes like the or hang up those stars, that's very like kitsch, barn-esque.
Yeah.
Like,
Joanna Gaines core.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We didn't find any evidence to support the claim that swingers put 5-pointed stars outside their homes to attract potential swinger partners. But this guy saw yours and clearly has had some kind of interaction with those that believe
people?
It. Yeah.
I am evidence. I don't.
There's also not just the stars, like the loofahs, I think, too, in certain communities. Like if you have a loofah tied to your van, different colors mean different things.
Like really? Hanging from the rear view?
Yeah, or like from the, what are the bars on top of the roof? Yeah, like in like old person communities in Florida, they'll have different color loofahs meant to indicate what they're open to.
All right, well, getting back to a previous conversation, white people take the loofahs off of your car and start using them.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah. It's the Bert Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bert Show fix at thebertshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bert Show.